Quer cheirar teu bacalhau? Maria, quer cheirar teu bacalhau? Mariazinha, deixa-me ir à cozinha, deixa-me ir à cozinha para cheirar teu bacalhau. I was practicing on the way.
Thanks, Joe, for opening up the show that way, man.
I appreciate it. Bring back some Portuguese heritage. Yeah.
Good to meet you, man.
Nice meeting you as well.
How do you know the show, first of all? Where did you discover the show?
Just scrolling through Instagram, because God knows as a business owner, you're constantly having to, scroll through.
Yeah.
And then I saw your construction life. I was like, you know what? Let's listen to a podcast. And I found a lot of what you were saying and some of your guests was very intriguing.
Yeah.
So then I just started listening and started following from there.
And there's been a few pork chops on the show.
Oh, yeah, which always helps, right?
Yeah, as well. But there's also a lot of tie-ins as well. There's all kinds. I think I've had one of everybody.
Yeah, basically. It's great to have that camaraderie with all the different ethnicities and always kind of intermingling with one another and, pissing each other off as per usual.
That's construction, man. So we'll talk a little bit about you're on your own now. It's been a few years, but you're a union guy before.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. We're not going to talk shit. We're just going to talk about some truths and educating people.
Yeah.
And that's it. So let me just share the information. What's the last name again? Sorry?
Gaspar.
And then Joe and Co is here, www.joeandandco.ca. And you can reach him on his email at joe@joeandco.ca and also on IG under joe_and_co_contracting. And his phone number is 647-217-6448. And I love doing this where I know what the hat looks like. It's the Finnish carpenter, right?
Yeah.
I'm wearing the Finnish carpenter's cap today. That's what I'm wearing, right? So that's it. I've done all my little hellos, right? So it's just funny that I'll just get onto the union train a tiny bit just to start off with, because I've been getting a lot of people obviously reaching out, talking to me, leaving me messages, giving me some insight on how it all works. I'm not a part of that world. I'm a fly on the outside just looking at it, but I've been having some very interesting conversations. That's all I can say.
Okay.
And I think today it verifies that I've been saying that the unions weren't, today they're not what they used to be. They're different today, and I wish that they would become more like how they were supposed to be from the days that they got started, right? Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity there for a lot of young people, and I think that the recent conversation I had with somebody that was a union member for 17 years recently, he did tell me something that I confirmed, whereas a lot of the young guys are leaving a lot sooner than the guys that used to leave. That's what's happening today. And you could probably attest to that, right?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I feel that the younger guys sometimes get left behind. They I've worked on some big jobs in downtown Toronto. Most recently it was the CIBC buildings.
Okay.
There's so much going on.
Down by Lakeshore there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the tracks.
Yeah.
So biggest jobs there. I've seen stuff there that it's fucking mind blowing in terms of the level of construction. It is a premier job. But I found that, the younger guys, I felt that they weren't given a fair shot. They're just, if this is not working out, get rid of them, get another one. If this guy's not working out, get rid of him, get another one.
Really? That easily replaceable?
Yeah.
No reason to see any potential in the youth and...
No, and I've had conversations with the foreman. It's like, well, you're just eliminating the future of the company by getting rid of all these fucking guys. Take the time to teach them. There was a point where on the job, we did phase one, then we started phase two. And I was the fifth guy. It was me and five other guys that started the second phase.
Okay.
Right? And then there was a point where we had an influx of all these young kids, like 18, 20, like
green. Where were they all coming from?
From the union, 27.
But where were they starting? Were they coming right out of the school gate?
I think they would come out of the school. I think they would do the pre-apprenticeship program. Okay. And then they would go on site. They would do like safety training so on and so forth. And then they would go on site. But you're dealing with kids that never worked on a heavy construction job site. And so
it's a little dangerous.
It is, but I always had a great care. I was like, the job, whatever we do, we got to make sure we go home at night 100%.
1,000%, for right? sure, I know.
We don't need heroes. We just need to work consistently and diligently and safely. If we continue that and learn, we can continue to progress, right?
Yeah.
And we did. I never had the screaming yell at the guys. You got to take them under your wing and help them, right? And a lot of the older generation doesn't have the patience to do that, which it's detrimental to the company, because maybe they feel, okay, well, you know, I've already put my time in the company. Maybe they don't feel like they need to help the youth out, that, and they need as much help and guidance now more than ever.
Is there, like, I'll ask you, is there a cultural, I guess the best word I could use is just cultural racism, when the older guys don't have the patience to teach the new guys? Because we know that the older guys, majority of them, are European, whether it's Portuguese or Italian or something like that. And is there that cultural racism towards the new guys coming in that they don't want to bother teaching them? Is it there?
You know, there might be a little bit, but I don't see it that way. Okay. I think what matters is if the kid, I call them kids, because at 18, you're 40.
You're a kid.
You're a kid. Yeah. Even adults, they're in the 30s. If you just started, you're a kid to me, right?
Yeah.
Because that's just a completely different world out there. They require more assistance. They require more help.
Of course.
More than, like I said, more than any other time that, from when I started, you know, you really had to pay attention to what the older guys were telling you, because they'll tell you once, that was it.
How old were you when you guys started?
So I started
05, right? You were saying?
Yeah, that's just in high rise, but then I did framing before then.
Okay.
I did painting when I was in high school for a company called Royal Park Painting in Brampton.
Okay.
So I worked with them, did framing. Worked in the precast factory. So there was a lot of, I've had a lot of experience working with older gentlemen, right? Of, you know, Portuguese, Italians, right? So they have a certain way of, no matter what industry it was, they had a certain way of thinking. And they just said, okay, this, you're going to learn once, and that was it, right? And if you didn't get it, well, too fucking bad.
Yeah.
Now, the kids, you can't do that to these kids, because they need a little bit more. Okay, I've showed you once, showed you twice, showed you three times. You got to try to stand up on your own, right? They require that little bit extra.
Why? Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, listen, I wouldn't want to be on a high-rise project, even me today, with the knowledge that I have, because it's not my wheelhouse, right?
Yeah.
I have to learn the lay of the land first. And then maybe in a couple of days, I'll be able to grasp it and figure it out. But I can only imagine for a young kid getting on that job site as a first timer, that's incredibly intimidating, man. Like,
you see a lot of them, they deal with anxiety issues.
But you're throwing them right into the fire. Like, this is high rise. This is major construction. It's the major leagues at that point.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think you need to have the minor leagues first to get them up to that point, right?
But if the workload and what the work that's out there is high rise or ICI, it's hard, right? That's what they have. That's what the gaps that they have to fill. You know, it's almost sink or swim. I question sometimes what they're learning in the pre-apprenticeship programs.
These are union-based pre-apprenticeship programs?
I think they're government, I believe.
Oh, these are third-party pre-apprenticeship programs.
Yeah, like, I think the union has a part to do with that. I'm not too familiarized with it.
Okay.
Like, the union has a part with the with the training, but it's also managed or governed by Skilled Trades Canada. So I think that's a different entity from the union itself, even though the union does work with them, so does electrical and plumbing as well.
They're not ready, though. After that, they're not ready to be on a professional job site.
No.
I think they need more time.
And they also need to be put with someone that has the patience and the willingness to teach them.
Yeah.
And the love to teach as well.
But you know what? I'll point the finger at the old timers now, because don't they realize that if they don't spend this time and effort on these kids, they're ruining this kid for the rest of their career, and they'll leave construction before they want to stay in construction. They left a bad taste in their mouth now.
Well, fuck it. You know, some of the things that's happened to me left me with a bad taste in my mouth as well. I think maybe at that point, let's say some of the journeymen have been working so many years, they feel they had already paid their dues to the company. They have to go and now teach someone else, because you think someone's been with the company for 10 years, you've already gone through maybe what, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know,
journeymen?
Like kids, right? Apprentices, right?
Really, that many?
Some, yeah. It's either you get to a point where you've taught them enough and they go on to work with someone else, and then you, then that person gets, now you're stuck with having to teach someone else. So you got someone that might be good at really teaching the kids, and maybe the youth and the apprentices will get a good amount of experience, but then they might take that apprentice and bring him to another job site, or bring him to another spot in the job site that needs, you know, another, some more help.
So that becomes a decision that's made based off of scope of work and projects available to the union, yeah, instead of trying to nurture that one, you know, journey, like kid, apprentice, yeah, where they need some more schooling, they need, yeah, some more training. Why don't they just keep them in that spot there?
Because a job site is like, it's like a chessboard. So you're constantly putting pieces where you can. And which ones are the ones that get sacrificed first?
Yeah,
the pawns.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I hate to phrase it in that manner, because I have a soft spot for them, because I know what it's like to work under people who are just completely nasty towards you all day long. Right? Because I've been susceptible to that as well.
Are they just mean? Like, they're just mean individuals?
No, I don't necessarily think that. I think the job, you become a product of your environment. And I think the job brings out the worst. Sometimes it's brought out the worst in me. You know, it's only until I had kids where, you know, I said, okay, you know, I have to be a bit more patient, a bit more caring, you know, just try to be a bit better of a person, right? Mm. Like, there's points where you feel that way while you're, you know, when you're younger, your early 20s and 30s, you're full of piss and vinegar.
Of course.
Right? So as you get older, you start to realize, okay, you know, there's a better way. There's a better way of constantly teaching and constantly refining who it is you are, your relationships with the people on the job site. So you're constantly working towards that. At least I am. Some people, they're just stuck in the way they think, the way they do it's the best way, and they'll never change.
Okay, so you left the union, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And then you started in, so what are we talking about here now? So basically you have, what, 16, 17 years in the union? 18
yeah.
years?
Yeah.
Why did you leave the union to go on your own? You want to go on your own and have your own business?
That's something that's always been on the back of my mind. I've done a lot of side jobs, and I've did work in my own house. I think the biggest thing was when I took the time to do work on my own house, and then that feeling of going back, I'm like, oh my God, it feels dreadful.
What do you mean? The quality of work that was being done on your house versus the quality of work that's being done?
No, because I always try to up my quality of work, no matter what it is that I do, right? It's just the feeling that it felt like I had a bit of freedom, because I was able to plan out my day and do things the way I wanted to go about them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I did that back in 2019.
Okay.
And then COVID happened.
Which became a shit show for everybody on job sites. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Then there was a point, like, you're off, you're on. And then there was a point where I had a kidney stone, right? And then,
man, this is the second time I'm hearing this from somebody else I've had.
Oh, it was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, right? We don't need to get into
we won't. But so I was off, and this was before we voted for a strike. Well, all the unions voted for a strike, was it 4 years ago?
On the last time that there was a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So during that time, I picked up, because I can't survive on what you're getting paid from the union or for strike pay.
Yeah.
I picked up a job. I built a deck, right? Okay. So I constructed the deck, and just that feeling of like freedom, kind of designing the deck and just going about that, I felt free. I didn't have anyone barking at me. I knew what I needed to do, and I did it, right? Customers were very happy with me. They love their deck. It's fucking bulletproof.
Okay.
Right? So I went from that to going back to the union, right? It's just that sense of like, holy fuck, here we go again, right? You're back to the grind. You know, it was just something that kept being on the back of my mind. And then there was points where when I was working with the union, you know, you put it in position, oh, you know, you're gonna do this, you're gonna take care, you're gonna have a little crew of guys, you know, go. So you have like many little projects throughout the job, right? that you'll have to do, because especially on a job of that caliber, right? You always had things going on. You had the core of the building going up. You had something going on with the bridge. You had Q-Deck. You had, it was just insane how much work you had on a building.
There's
like
a lot going on.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Looking for a roof that lasts and a team you can trust? Call Homestar Roofing, your local family-run roofing experts. From shingles to cedar, slate to metal, flat roofs to skylights, they do it all. Residential or commercial, big or small, need roof repairs, consulting, soffit, fascia, gutters, or eavesdrops? They've got you covered, literally. With affordable pricing and a reputation for quality, Homestar Roofing is building roofs and building trust, one project at a time. Visit them on social at Homestar_roofing or visit them online, www.homestarroofing.ca, or even call them at 647-380-0625 for your free quote today. That's homestarroofing.ca, where your roof is their reputation. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
There was a couple points where, you know, I requested to get a raise because they were constantly putting me in these positions of a foreman slash lead hand slash carpenter, right? And I just got to a point where I just got fed up with it all. It's just like, well, you're willing to give, and I'm never jealous of anybody. I'm always very, you know, you got a little bit extra from the company, God bless you. Wish you all the best for you and your family. Never once do I say, oh, that guy doesn't deserve it. In the back of my mind, I may think that, mm-hmm. right? But I won't say to people, oh, you know, he's this or he's that. He doesn't deserve it. Whatever. If you're able to get more money, okay, no problem.
Well, it's your right as an employee to request it if you feel that you're
because
ready for it.
Because what the union rate gives you, that's the minimum that the company has to pay you. There's still more that the company can pay you, especially if you deserve it.
Okay.
Right? Or if you've put yourself in a position to make that money. Like if you have a position where people's lives, you're responsible for people who you're working with, then you should get a little something, right? Yeah. Let's put it out with something. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what? Maybe it's just time I need a change.
You regret it?
No.
Going on your own?
No.
You like interacting with the clients and building things out for them? And
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. I feel more fulfilled in my life.
Has it been a challenge lately? Because obviously 2025, 2024, halfway through, you know, obviously the economy, shit like that. Everyone's being a little conscious of where they're spending dollars, you know, in the private sector.
Oh,
it's been tougher?
It's been tough. Well,
yeah, but it's not to say that there's a bunch of work going on in the union scope of things right now as well. I think
everywhere is struggling. All unions. Like my cousin, he's a plumber, right? Licensed plumber with, whatever local that is. Right? Okay. I'm not too sure what number, because fuck, you get confused with all of them all. And even say he's saying it's slow. Electricians, they're saying it's
slow. No, it's slow. It's just a fact. It's slow. Yeah. I know. I get it. Well, our economy sucks, and you guys have contracts coming up. Simple as that. So it's a perfect storm going on right now.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know what shocks me is that the guys are talking about striking, right?
There's no point in striking.
That's what I've been saying.
Because ever since the good old liberals of today implemented the arbitration bullshit law, where it cuts after 45 days. That's it. You guys are going back to work regardless. So you can strike, but we know you're going back to work at 45.
By striking, what are you gaining by doing that? whatever you think you're going to gain, you've now lost in 4 weeks, whatever the hell it is.
But then there's two sides to that argument where it's like, I'm already sitting at home not making any money. Now I'm going to go on strike and I'm going to make a fraction of what I'm going to be making. But you quickly learn also that what I don't like about the unions today is that it's not a brotherhood anymore. It's a tier class system. That's what it is. And I have a problem with that. That everything is designed to help the union workers, but it's more like everything's designed to take advantage of the union workers. That's what I have a problem with. Because you correct me if I'm wrong, and someone can challenge me on this. When you guys go on strike, you guys get strike pay, but the executives still get their full pay.
I believe that's still the case.
That's not a brotherhood.
Yeah.
If we're on strike, we're all on strike. That's my problem. Because it doesn't affect the executive class, right? That's the shame. That's what I don't like about it. So that starts to chip away at this brotherhood, the sisterhood, the brotherhood. We can talk about all that stuff, but it's just, I don't think that's fair. And it's, I also don't think it's fair that the liberals implemented that arbitration bullshit rule. That's politics getting inside of unions, right? Which yeah. it shouldn't be, but we know one hand washes the other.
100%.
And it's just like, I want, and what I'm seeing, and we talked about it briefly off mic, what I'm seeing is that all it's doing is forcing out really good, talented, young prospects. That's what it's doing.
Yeah.
This young group of tradespeople that are coming into the union force and the construction industry is hungry to learn, right? And then they're quickly discovering that it's not about them anymore. They don't care really too much about us. They care about us as a member because we're paying our membership and we're contributing to the membership itself and the yeah. local. But they're going to quickly learn a lot faster than the previous generation. And then they're going to leave.
Yeah, because like with what I do, right? Contracting, you know, do footings, foundation, framing, finishing, everything.
Yeah.
Right? That's not for people. That's not, that type of work is not for apprentices.
No.
Because that is for
entry level stuff. You'll learn, you'll shadow, yeah. you'll be there, do the labor side.
Yeah. yeah. Like I tried to have a young guy with me and it doesn't work out. The reason being is because you're going, so you teach him, okay, now you're doing concrete as an example, right? So we went from concrete to all of a sudden to painting.
How do you go from there to there?
Just because my skill set allows me to do that.
Okay, on private jobs.
So I picked up a concrete job. So I had him helping me there doing that. And then I still had the addition that I was building. So we went back to the addition because we're flip-flopping between one job to another.
But they don't know how to shift gears.
No.
A lot of people don't know how to shift gears that way, right?
Yeah,
I've always come from custom resi. So then I shift gears on the hourly basis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One day you have this hat and next hour you got this hat.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. There's sometimes where you kind of need like a little bit to kind of get back into it. But before you know it, it's there.
But that goes back to the unionship where it's like you got bathtub Mike or something like that.
Yeah.
That's all Mike's ever done. He's a licensed plumber, but all he's ever done is install bathtubs. And he goes and installs 300 bathtubs in one tower.
Yeah.
And that's all he really knows. But you get him to install, I don't know, a toilet, he probably doesn't know how to do it. Someone
just does rough-ins only, right? Exactly. Or finishing exactly. only, and so on and so forth. Yeah, with the union, sometimes things can be very segregated, right? And something that I'll make a comment about it now is it's something that I've even said to union reps. I've said to other people, many of them disagree with me, many of them agree with me, is if formwork is his own entity, right? It's really the driving force when it comes to, you know, any local.
Yeah.
Right? Local 183, local 27,
yeah.
you know, private work. Why not make it so that you have more formwork guys that are licensed with, like get a red seal in formwork?
Separated the category, you mean?
Yeah.
Because formwork still falls under framing, no?
No, carpenter? It falls under carpenter.
Carpenter.
Which I agree with because yeah. there is carpentry skill that you need to do formwork.
But you want to designate a specific class for formwork.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Because I think you would have more formwork guys that would be red sealed, which is a sense of pride. Yeah. And then you can take that to other provinces, which is always nice. But now you're trying to, you have some guys with what you were saying, you know, bathtub Mike, he's a licensed plumber, but that's all he does, right? You have guys who just do formwork or scaffolding, you know, they're trying to write a red seal test for becoming a carpenter, which is very difficult. But if that's the only thing that you've done, how are you supposed to pass that test?
I agree with you. That's why I think that there should be a specific red seal just for formwork.
Because you look at drywall.
And then test that.
Yeah. Then you have drywallers, right? Yeah. You have steel studs. Well, that's just an extension of carpentry.
Yeah.
Realistically, you're using different materials, but there was no split when it came to that. Your carpenter was someone who can drywall, which is just basic sheeting. If you could put a sheet of plywood up, you could do a sheet of drywall. It's not a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
Right? I really do believe that. People are going to say I'm fucking full of shit or I'm wrong. I think you would have better trained guys and I actually cared more about the job because now they understand more about the job and what's going on around them. You understand why you're using a Jillia opposed to regular concrete.
Yeah.
Right? You know, why are you using that type of rebar, not this one, right? They start to engage more with the job, I think. And again, you'll have people that were more dedicated, not looking at it so much as a job, but as a career.
Well, the problem I have is that I want the union to stop looking at the members as a number, right? And more as a tradesperson.
I don't necessarily think they view it in that manner. And, you know, I'm sure other people are going to disagree. I think every member is an important part. I think we need to do a better job of protecting the apprentices, right? And then not them not getting all of a sudden booted out of the job. Maybe they have to have different programs that will, and I'm sure they do. I'm not too familiarized with it. But I think they need to do more to help them on the job sites.
That's where I go back to they treat them as if they're just a number, yeah. And they don't want to bother investing into them. But they still use the springboard of saying that the union is better because it's a brotherhood, it's a sisterhood. We all work together. We're all watching each other's backs.
I think on site that is very
safety very well. For sure. But then when you actually sit down and just like someone just sent me a message this morning about a contract that was just agreed upon. I'm not going to share the union or whatever it was or who was voting, but there wasn't even a chance to review the contract. It was just agreed upon. Wasn't agreed upon by the members. It was just agreed upon.
We'll talk about that off mic.
But I'm just saying, that's what I mean. There's such a line drawn where it's not right, right? So it's just like, I'm on the outside. I'll speak up and I'll just say something about it. But it's really gaining traction now from a lot of people saying, you're not wrong, Manny. These messages are coming into me. And I'm like, you're not wrong about this shit. And I'm not coming at it from the perspective of a union member or a union executive. I'm coming at it from a perspective of construction.
Yeah.
Right? And I look at it the way I know what unions are all about. I know what they used to be all about. They're not that. I don't care. Nobody can tell me that they are still that way. On the job site, if shit's hitting the fan, you guys are all watching each other's back. I totally respect that. I understand that. You guys can all argue and yell at each other and try to fucking razz each other and try to learn and all this other shit. I get all that shit. But when the shit does hit, you guys all support each other. Great.
Well, 100%.
But the problem is that the upper echelon doesn't. They don't.
Yeah.
There's a line drawn. And that's why I personally and professionally have a problem with suits and workwear. I have a major problem with it, right? So if you are a suit, hopefully you came from workwear, right? Which is generally the purpose, right? So if you get to that level of a suit.
There's been a lot of people who have worked their way up.
Which is
what you've had people on the show,
yeah.
who I've worked with. Not I worked with them personally, but I've worked with people who worked with them.
Yeah.
And they were just slugging away like everybody else.
Yeah, which is great. I think that's what that should be a prerequisite. Kind of like if you want to be, you know, prime minister of this country, you got to be born here, right? Yeah. That kind of mentality. I think that if you want to get into the executive level of any union, you have to have been an apprentice one day. You've had to eat shit one day. Yeah. I don't think you just get in just because of nepotism or you know somebody. DEI. I don't give a shit if people get upset because I say DEI.
Yeah.
Right?
I've worked hand in hand with people who are now in the union and working, you know, let's call it a suit wise, right? And they were very smart. You know, they're always hardworking. Never had an issue with them. Don't have an issue with them now, right? And I feel that they always cared about the workers, right? They wanted to make sure that they were okay. Does things change the longer you're in a suit? You know what? I've never been there, so I don't know. But sometimes it does feel that way. But you know, you have the hopes that they always have the workers' best mentality, best what's the word that I want? Jesus Christ, I'm lack of words.
Well, the best interest, the
best
right?
interest.
Yeah,
right.
Let me ask you this, Joe. You tell me if this was even, if they would even consider this. If I approach the union and I say, listen, I want to do a site visit. Me, Manny, from the construction life, I just want to walk around. I'll fucking go through your safety course. I'll do all the hoops and all this other shit. I'll get my sticker and put it on the hard hat and all that crap, right? And I want to get on a job site and I just want to walk around that job site. We're not going to prepare that job site. Nobody's going to be aware that I'm there. I'm a fly on the wall. Do you even think I'll get that approval?
I think the more your name gets out there, you will.
You think so?
100%.
They'll let me on a job site so I can see for myself what's really going on a job site?
Well, I think you have honest conversations and you do care about the apprentice. You do care about
but the people. But they won't be nervous about what I see? Because what if I do see everything that we've been talking about?
Well, then, you know what? That's something that you have to live with, right? The thing is that some people will say, oh, the union's been great, you know, because, you know, they've given me a life that, you know, I wouldn't have had otherwise, right? Which, that's true.
It's true.
Right? But then there's others where it's like, oh, you know, we're paying X amount, and then you'll have people that will say the complete opposite.
Stop being chained to your construction company. That's what Revelate delivers to contractors like you who are trying to figure out AI and automations. I hear it all the time with guys I talk to, and it sounds like they spend way more time on things that waste money. Here's how Revelate does it. They study your business. They build custom AI software and automation tech to fit your process. They train you and your staff so you can save 50% of your time on the stuff that slows you and your projects down. You got into the trades to build things, not to be buried under endless admin work and broken systems. I know every day feels like you're solving the same problems instead of moving forward. That's why Revelate was created. They grew up in the construction industry and have been a part of it for more than 15 years. They know the grind and they work to fix it. Within weeks, you and your team and your business are saving half of your time on the stuff that keeps you from getting home and enjoying life. No more nights buried in the paperwork, just more time building and living. Stop being stuck in chaos. Let Revelate help you build something better. Book a demo. It's an easy chat and it's free. Book time now. www.revelate.com or on IG at revelate.inc or call them at 416-474-5755. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Whoever is the one telling you these things, that's kind of where your mind is going towards the union. Now, if the majority of the people that you're having conversations with, right, both whether it be apprentices or journeymen, everyone's saying the same thing, you got yourself a problem, right?
Listen, there's pros and cons. I think that there's good and bad with the union. It's 100%. Just unfortunately, there's more bad than there is good right now. And the union has provided quite a bit for a lot of union members, and they've supported them, and they've given them a lot of food on the table, so to speak, right? Yeah. I get all that shit. But also, the executives have taken a lot of that piece of the pie, too. And I think that a lot of the union dues are getting way too high for what they're getting in return. Yeah. That's the problem I have. So they're having a good life. They're providing a good life for members, but they could be providing a much better life too.
So for 27, I know the dues have kept the same for many years.
For 27?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which that's great that they're able to keep it that way. In terms of their office, I don't know the full extent of what, you know, who's getting paid what and so on and so forth. I do think that their overhead is lower than, let's say, 183. I think 183 they have a lot of members and they have a lot of people working in that office. I don't know if it's all six figures, whatever. I know there's work there that needs to be done. But again, you have a lot of people, of executives.
I'll just share some information that I was, and people can challenge me on. You know, I don't give a shit, right? 183, seven executives, starting salary, $148,000 plus perks,
okay,
plus expenses, plus.
Yeah.
When I look at what the union members are making and I compare it to that, and then I got a problem with the suits, taking advantage of the workwear. Those are big numbers.
Yeah. But there's some union guys, okay, workers, who they make six figures.
Which is great. Now you're saying six figures, $100,000 or
100, 110, 120, and never had a college education.
Okay, which is wonderful. How much of that money is take home?
Well, that's a different story.
Well, some of it goes to the union and some of it gets robbed 100%. By our current government, right?
A lot of it gets robbed
by the current government. I know, I get it. So it's just like I never. It's funny, when I was in construction, as you probably know too, is like you always want clients to understand that there's taxes on top of whatever you're billing.
Yeah.
So sure, it's $100,000 reno I'm doing, but technically speaking, here in Toronto and here in Ontario, it's $113,000 reno. Yeah. That's what it is. So you just have to accept that fact. So when someone tells me that their salary is $100,000 or just over $100,000, how much of that is being subtracted for whatever fees that are associated with it? So if it's being brought down to 50, you're making nothing.
Yeah.
You can't survive on that, right? And then with the economy going on right now, sure, it's nice to talk about. I think 183 is at 70,000 plus members, 27 is at 10,000 or different divisions or whatever.
Yeah.
These are big numbers, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But I have a funny feeling that we're closer to 50% of them not working because of the economy. And you don't have a leg to stand on if you start telling me it's because of tariffs, because it's not, right? It has everything to do with the Liberal Party. They
100%.
Destroyed this country for the last decade. They've made it more challenged to just survive. So it's like, everybody's in bed with each other. Everybody's wearing a suit is scratching each other's back. And then what I don't like is that I see the workwear people. I see the hardworking tradespeople being taken advantage of. They deserve more money for the skill set that they're learning and providing. And some of them are hugely talented on that fact, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're discouraged. And what I don't like is that they're leaving. Right? I'm not saying that you left for those reasons. You had more of a passion to get into the private sector because you wanted to work directly with the client. As a union member, you'll never have an opportunity to work directly with the client. That's never going to be on your menu board, right?
Yeah. Well, the client is the builder that you're working for.
Yeah, it is, right? But you'll never be in that boardroom,
yeah,
and have that conversation going, do we go with Chantilly Lace or do we go with Cloud White? You'll never have that.
Go Cloud White.
I know. We get it, right? So it's like, and I get it. Trust me. That's why I was in private and I never went into union. It's just, I liked having those conversations, but then I had my fair share of having stupid conversations with stupid clients. And I just like, you know what? I'm done with this shit. Somebody else can deal with it. And let me educate other people on how to handle the situations, because maybe you'll do it better than I did.
Yeah.
Because eventually I just got sick of stupid people, right? And I move on at that point.
The clients can definitely be challenging at times.
Unrealistic regarding their numbers, right?
I think right now that's the toughest part, if I'm being honest.
They want everything for champagne, but they only want to pay beer, right? That whole mentality is garbage. So either you guys wait until you have the money to do the reno properly, or you don't do the reno, man.
Well, what I find is that questions that I ask is, do you have a budget? No, I don't know how much it costs. Okay, well, fuck. You're in for a surprise for this. But I want this, 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 this. I recently, I'm not going to mention people's names, but I recently had a job. It was for a bathroom. It was like to replace the shower, replace in the kitchen, kind of redo the basement a little bit, right? I gave them an initial price. They loved it.
Okay.
Perfect. They called me back to re-estimate a few extras that they wanted to add because they liked the price so much.
Small extras or big extras?
They were big extras. They wanted to relocate the washer and dryer, which, well, no, that does have a cost because now I have to break concrete. You have to relocate electrical. You know the whole spiel. I re-quoted that and I left. I didn't add percentages on the electrician, right? I didn't add percentages on the plumber. And I did what I could to help with the price as well. Oh, it's too much now. To a point where I was completely ghosted. I'm like, what, really?
So the original quote, you didn't add the points on everything?
No.
But then when you had to redo the quote again, you were still keeping those same price points for the additional extras on all those trades?
Yeah, I didn't add.
And they thought it was too high. And they were comparing it to what? The money that they were getting from the bank or the money that they have borrowed? Or like, what's going on? I don't understand.
I don't know. They were telling me, so I was hearing different conflicting stories. And I don't know if it was one of those things where they just wanted to know what the price of it was. Or maybe they're a little bit too in overhead and things might be going a little bit too quickly than what they were expecting.
Did you cross the threshold? Like, what was your original quote?
It was before tax, and I said, I explained to them, it was like $15,600. And I said, this is not even including plumbing, not including painting, so on and so forth. So you guys tell me how you want to proceed because I don't know what your budget is. Oh, you know, that seems very affordable. That seems very, you know, very... It seems like a very fair price.
And when you revised it, what was the number?
Because that was $15,000 without tax. So then when you add the tax, nobody likes the tax.
Yeah.
It was like 25.
The revised quote.
Yeah.
With tax or without it?
That's with tax.
With tax. And yeah. they felt that was too high.
Yeah. That's adding a new kitchen.
That's cheap, man.
Locating. That's cheap. And I was trying to help them, right?
Let them get somebody else.
Well, and then I told them because, you know, they're all call this person, call that person. I says, listen, I'm not calling anybody else because I'm not getting any responses.
Wait, but the client is asking you to call
the client is, so it was her brother that they asked for me to contact him, to talk to him about. Her brother works in the trades as well, right?
So I don't care.
No, I know, but then she, because he was the one kind of in charge of it all, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it turned into a shit show, right? To be honest with you. I just said, you know what? Find someone else.
I had a friend recently reach out to me, and he was like, I had a flood, Manny. I go, okay, well, I don't understand. Please explain, right? He goes, our toilet supply line burst. I was like, okay, what floor? And he goes, on the bedroom floor, second floor, right? And he goes, it happened that night. And me being with my construction spidey senses, I would have heard that water flowing.
Yeah.
They never heard it. So then it was flowing all night long. Oh, and then God. When they woke up in the morning, it was just a flood through the, and it just went through all the floors right to the basement and made a lot of damage, right?
Yeah.
So the plastic connection to the tank is what broke. And then the water kept on going, right? When they woke up, they finally turned off the valve, but then the water created all this damage, right? So I just said, okay, my first question to you. Are you going to fix everything to the way it was? Are you going to look at this as an opportunity to upgrade? He goes, no, we're just going to fix everything to the way it was. And I'm like, okay, so you've already spoken to your insurance. He goes, yeah, we've already spoken to your insurance. So I'm like, okay, great. So why do you need to speak to me? He goes, well, we want to just pick your brain about this. And I was like, okay. So by the time I was 5 minutes into the conversation, I go, you're upgrading everything. That's why I kind of asked you that question at the beginning.
Yeah.
If you're going to upgrade everything, it's going to cost you a lot of money now because they're debating whether or not to just take a buyout from the insurance or to, you know, just get the insurance to do the work. And I just clearly said, I go, if you want the shit just to go back to the way it was, get the insurance to do the work. It's going to be the best price you're ever going to find. You're not going to find somebody else that's 100%. Going to do it better, right? But if you want to start upgrading shit, then take the buyout. But then factor in, it's going to cost X amount for all these things. And it was just a grocery list of things that he was asking me. So that's why it's like the client needs to understand what path we're going to go down here. Yeah. And then I don't care if it doesn't line up with your dollar value that you think it is, right? You called me up for a professional opinion. I'm giving you a professional opinion. At any time, he did say to me, he goes, man, can you come by? I said, no, I'm not coming by. I'm giving you some advice here if you don't want to take it. And I go, send me the grocery list in an email of exactly what's wrong. I don't care about pictures, but just send me the grocery list, right? And he hasn't sent it to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, dude, I've been down this rabbit hole before. Yeah. You and your wife need to decide, are we fixing this to the way it was, or are you going to start upgrading a bunch of shit? Mm-hmm. If you're going to upgrade, then guess what? You're renovating your whole house, right? Got to the point where he's asking me, well, she wants to resand the floors on the main floor. I go, then now you're being kicked out of the house for a week. He's like, what do you mean? I go, you can't sand floors site finish without, you can't be in there.
Yeah.
You got to sand, prep it, stain it, and then you got to seal it, sand it, seal it, sand it, seal it.
Yeah.
And every time you do that, you got to get the hell out. So, she won't like that. I was going, then you're going back to pre-finish. Like, I'm trying to give you this insight.
Yeah.
But it's just funny how, okay, go talk to my brother. I don't care about that. Then go speak to your brother and get your brother to do the job then. If he's such a tradesperson, he knows everything. Why do you want to talk to me about it, right?
Yeah. That, you know, I've left that chapter back. It's like, whatever. I just got to keep moving forward and just be done with it.
Were you upset that you didn't get the job? Or was that a telltale of them?
Well, you know what? You're always upset that there's jobs that, you can quote 100 jobs. You're not going to get 100 of the jobs.
No.
Right. Do you get upset? I do, because I spent a lot of time. I won't, like, if they call me back and says, oh, Joe, you know, we reconsidered and we would like you to do it, I would still work with them. Right. Maybe that's to my detriment because I don't like losing jobs. Right.
Maybe there's a reason why.
Well, there's that too. Right.
Like, I learned later on in my career that when I wasn't getting work, I just said to myself, might be a good reason why. Maybe we weren't going to get along eventually, right? And it would have been worse.
Yeah, there's that too. You know, maybe God's looking after me. Maybe that one's not to be, and there'll be other opportunities maybe out there as well.
You don't
know. And then I'm looking, you look at everything, right? Like, is my sales pitch not where it should be? Is my quote not where it should be?
I wouldn't say that because they liked you from the first quote.
Yeah.
So they didn't like you from the second revised quote.
Yeah.
Which was crossing over their threshold of what things should cost.
Yeah.
But then they're doing the classic client move. We just want more for the same value that you're offering for.
What? Now they're going to try to find someone because now
they will.
And I said this. So if it's too much, go back to the original, but they can't because I gave them a couple good ideas. I said, it's a shame that this can't be go here. But I says, it's too much money. Well, we'll just keep it as is. So I kept everything as is, as requested. And then afterwards is when I give them the prices. Okay, well, maybe we can add a little bit more to that.
It's classic. I know.
Yeah. It's very
the only way the price goes down is if you remove stuff. The only way the price goes up is if you add stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny how that math works in construction.
I know.
At Maple Overhead Garage Doors, they're not just opening doors, they're opening possibilities. Serving the greater Toronto area with top quality garage doors in steel, wood, fiberglass, flush mount, and full view aluminum, Maple delivers style, strength, and satisfaction for both residential and commercial spaces. With years of experience, unmatched craftsmanship, and the next level service, your neighbors will be jealous, but your garage door will speak for itself. Visit www.maplegaragedoors.com, email them at maplegaragedoors@hotmail.com, or even call them at 905-738-9231. Follow them on social at Maple Doors and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience live at Maple. Maple Overhead Garage Doors, built to impress, made to last. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
You go buy a car. You start adding a little extras here and there. It's going to cost you a fortune. People are more willing to pay because they have more of an emotional attachment because that's the brand new car. Right? The car depreciates. Right?
Yeah.
But when you put a new bathroom in your kitchen, new bathroom in your basement.
When you renovate your home.
Yeah. The value skyrockets.
Yeah.
Right? People, and I explained to them, it's like, you're looking at what you're spending. You're not looking at what you're gaining as well by doing these things. Nobody sees that.
They only want to see how much they can get for the original dollar value that you gave them.
Yeah.
That's all. And at that point, I look at it like, that's a client that's going to be a problem later on. Because if they're asking for more stuff at the same dollar value now, they're going to be really challenging it later.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, they weren't asking me to do the work for the work.
No. But in comparison of what you were charging to do the original scope to the increases of extra stuff, those numbers didn't jive for them. They wanted more value for this. They wanted a lot more work done for less dollar value. Yeah.
And just so I had, because I had gone away to the Dominican, says, okay, when I get back a week from now, please have some type of answer because I was supposed to start your project as soon as I got back.
Yeah.
Right. So then it was kind of not that I was counting on it, because you never count on until you have a contract signed and you got money. You got no job until that happens. Right. So I was kind of hoping that, maybe because things are tough, it's good to secure jobs, right?
Yeah.
To start lining up work for the rest of the summer. It would have been great had they came to an agreement and a price that they wanted to spend. But, fortunately that didn't happen. And what bothers me most, and a lot of clients do this, is where they completely ghost you. It's like this, it's as if they don't want to, it's like you're a parent and you're the parent and they're the child, where they don't want to tell you, or they're trying to avoid eye contact with you or any conversations because they feel ashamed of it, right?
Well, they just already made a decision. They found somebody else that's going to do it for cheaper, but they're not sure if it's going to be done properly. I remember I had two clients have aha moments with me when I was doing basement rentals for them, right? And I was doing basement rentals back in the day that were like 1,600 square feet basement, and they were clocking out at 250, 260. One was 250, one was 275.
That's for a basement.
For a basement. Right? So, but what they were getting, like, we were a home theater.
100%.
We were talking kitchen, second, this is all European family, second kitchen, full bath, like heated.
That's a serious basement.
And when I explained to them, they're like, I don't understand this. We bought this house for X amount so many years ago. And then they would try to tell me, I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. If they bought the house, because obviously the basement is 1,600 square feet, and that means that the main floor is 1,600 square feet, in and around that area, right? That means it's a 3,200 square foot house plus the basement, right? So they paid $600,000 for the two floors upstairs, right? So I said, guys, you paid $300,000 for each floor upstairs. I'm charging you guys $250,000 for this floor. I go, your basement's the third floor. What we're building here. Then they would have just have an aha moment.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm creating extra space for your house in this floor.
Yeah.
So why are we treating it differently? So then at both jobs, after I finished both jobs, they're like, the rest of our house looks like shit now.
Yeah.
I go, well, you guys paid more for the upstairs than I did charge you for the downstairs, right?
Yeah.
Square footage is square footage. Like what you guys put into it is a different story. So if you're asking for all these things, this is the price. And like I said, the only way that price goes down is if you remove stuff.
Yeah. I did the addition for a great family, and it was a fantastic learning experience. And that's probably one of the reasons why, or it is one of the reasons why I left, because I had the opportunity to work on the addition and construct this for them. Right, I think the addition complete is at 430 700 square feet
with the two-story addition.
No, just a single story, but with the finished basement.
So the finished basement was tied into the existing basement.
It kind of ties in together.
But you have access to that finished basement in the new addition.
Yes.
Block or poured?
No, I poured.
You poured.
Yeah.
You had access to pour.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Line pump.
Nice.
Yeah.
But there, excavation and everything too?
Yeah, everything. Yeah. So, you know, and I what I said, you know, every client will say it no matter how much money they have, right? They say, oh, fuck, that's a lot of money. It's like, yeah. But now you look at the square footage, you can't buy a condo in Toronto for what you have here anywhere.
You're paying $1 million.
Yeah. So you got to look at comparable.
Plus maintenance fees.
Yeah.
I know. They don't compare that. But you as a contractor trying to explain that to them and they don't get it
still. Well, I have, like I said, that one client, he's great. And he's like, well, you know what? That's a different way of looking at it. It's like, yeah, you know, like even with what you were saying, you paid $300,000 for each floor.
It was actually more than $300,000 because they paid. And that was like 10, 12 years ago. Yeah. They never did the basement.
But it's shocking, especially with basements, how much the price, like even just the price of material, like how much, like a tube of caulking is like $18.
A tube of caulking?
Well, silicone. Like I use like 30 year for like when I'm caulking around the tub.
Is it that price now? Is that, I haven't bought a piece of material in a while, right?
Yeah, so I gotta stop shopping at Home Depot. It's too expensive.
$18 for a tube of, like a large tube? No, a small tube. A
small tube.
Holy shit.
Right? Then I was at, it was like flat stock, the flat stock, right? Like 5/8, 3/4. Half inch flat stock, like fucking maybe 5 inches. How much? I think it was like $15-16
for an 8 foot.
Yeah, it was awful. The prices.
There's other ways of trying to get better material and cheaper material, and it just, you got to do a bunch of homework. That's all it is, right?
Yeah, I think Home Depot's great because they're readily
you lost available. Me at Home Depot's great.
Well, in terms of like where they're located, right? There's one, it's big
convenience.
100%. So you pay for that convenience. Mm. Do you get better prices elsewhere? 100% you do. But if you have to go buy like a one-off, as an example, I'm not going to go shop, go all the way to Vaughn to Trim Depot and pick up stuff like that, right?
Are you working mostly, Joe, with... you have laborers or you have like employees, or are you doing all mostly subs?
So I'm mostly subs right
mostly
now.
Mostly subs, right? Because you're taking the model from union over to, you know.
Not necessarily. Like all the guys that helped me build the addition, they're all union guys as well. They didn't have a lot of work during the time. So I kept a lot of those guys busy, right?
Good.
But I just, right now, the way how difficult everything is to have an employee, right, is very, very...
You can't maintain it.
Yeah. And personally, I love all the people that... I love my clients. I love the guys that work with me to an extent. But the hardest part of owning a company, I can problem solve any problem that you may have in that house. Any problem with new construction, I'll figure it out. No problem at all. You know, dealing with the... with engineers, city, whatever it may be, right? I'll resolve the problem, no problem. The biggest problem, my biggest hindrance is employees. They've been the hardest ones to fucking deal with.
In what respect?
Just kind of the work ethic, kind of, you know, their attitude towards the work, right? You know, sometimes a certain level of disrespect that they may have. Like,
where are you finding them?
Friends through union guys, friends of friends that were helping. And I found that there were a couple guys where I would say, okay, I want to do something like this. Oh, but what are you going to do? Like, so, no, just let's do it this way. Okay. Cause you know, at the end of the day, I'm the one that's paying you. And you know, the client is also the one paying all of us. So this is why we're doing this. That's what, and there's constantly be an unnecessary argument back and forth about it. So it's like, oh Christ.
Okay. What kind of ideas are they bringing up? I'm just curious. I mean, if they're good ideas, they're good ideas.
No, and I have no problem. And I always take apprentices, people that are younger than I am. I listen to everyone's ideas because not everything that I say or everything that I think is always the correct manner, right? And it's not because I'm not a perfect person.
No,
right?
Yeah.
It was adding a double king stud on either side of an interior door.
Why?
That's what I said. I said, you're just wasting material. It's going to take solid blocking because it was a vaulted ceiling. So it needed to take a row of solid blocking right across. So that door frame is already going to be secure. You're going to have drywall on either side. It's going to, that frame is not going to move. It's impossible.
But what was the thought process on why this person wanted to add?
Because he says it'd be a lot stronger. I said, it's not taking any strength.
This is an interior wall with a door on it?
Yes.
That makes no sense. It doesn't make it stronger? For what purpose? I don't understand.
I don't know. It just was his logic.
King Jack in the header is like more than enough for a typical. But
it doesn't even take a proper header at the top.
Yeah, it's not a block header. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's a fill header. I get it. I understand that. But that's what I don't understand.
So there was that argument back and forth.
But where is he getting that from?
Because he worked in framing, and that's how the framer did it.
He would in residential and private?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice little added touch. It's the same way that I always, towards the end of my career, I always preferred LSLs and shower enclosures.
Yeah.
Because I wanted that wall to be perfect. I didn't want to deal with crowns and then have arguments. I had enough arguments with tile setters how this is out of plumb, right? Yeah. So I was like, okay, I don't care. For the cost of an LSL, I'll put LSLs in the shower.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass to frame, but then I know that wall is true.
Yeah, good luck trying to drill a hole through them, eh?
That's the other problem, is that you're nailing it together. It's a pain in the ass to put it together, but once you get your curdy board on or your cement board on or whatever, it's all fine. What I liked is that the tile guy came back and he goes, thank you.
Yeah.
Right? But structurally speaking, to add a double king, I don't know about that one.
So then... what I said, okay, now we're going to flip this. Okay. So now you added a double here, which is not needed. Okay. So see that sliding door. Okay. Now you have to add two jack studs opposed to just one, because that makes sense to me. You didn't need it because of the size of the opening. One jack stud, one king stud would have been enough with a double.
What do you mean, on a pocket door?
No, it was exterior door, sliding door.
That's different. That's a structural wall. Yeah,
and I said, so now that you wanted to put a double on a non-structural wall.
I put the double on the structural wall.
Yeah, that's what we did.
That makes sense to me.
I agree.
I'm just wondering then where the kid was. Well, I guess because he worked with a framer that did that.
Well, I also think that, you know, this is sometimes, you know, we forget our place. He's a bit opinionated.
But you can make the suggestion.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I understand your logic and where you're coming from. And I get to an extent that I did understand. I think it was a waste of material. I don't think it was needed, right? But then I explained my logic towards it. And then I said, okay, well, now we have to add here and here.
Yeah.
See that, because as an inspector, he comes in, he sees, okay, well, that's beautiful. You know, you added two on a non-structural load, but you only have one on a structural load, you know? Doesn't make any sense.
What I didn't like sometimes is that, and I'm sure this happened to you, is when you start adding more employees to your workforce because you start growing and you have more work. And now, you know, you're trying to focus more on the business. So you're trying to work the pencil instead of work the hammer. And you would leave the kids, so to speak, work.
Yeah.
And then you would go about your day and then come back. And there was only one ever employee that I ever had that was great. I would leave him alone, come back, and he would always have more than I expected to have done.
Yeah.
But everybody else before that, I'd come back and I'm like, in my mind, that's all you guys did.
Yeah.
And I hated that because then I hired a new guy and he would come in and he would always have more than what I expected he would have done.
Yeah.
So it just showed me that he was actually, you know, conscious of doing the scope and trying to get what done. Yeah. And he would always be texting me or sending me a picture, asking me a question. So then he's in the middle of something, gets my 2 cents, and then I give it to him. And then I come back and he's got more than what I thought he would get done.
That's a great worker.
Which is great. Yeah. So, and he was with me for a few years and I loved it. And yeah. Then he actually moved. He had to go back to Quebec, right?
The good ones always end up opening something for themselves.
Well, he went to work for somebody else just for, he focused on tiling.
Yeah.
He wanted to get onto that thing. But then he ended up moving to Quebec, back to where his significant other was from. And so it was just, that was it. But I mean, we got along extremely well. Extreme. I still talk to him to this day, right?
So what I tried to implement, because that addition was my first big job on my own, right? So then, you know, my first year in, I'm already doing a $400,000 addition.
How did you secure that job? What was the deciding factor?
So I was fortunate. I've been very fortunate that my wife's cousin was the one that she needed the work done.
Okay.
Yeah. And my wife's cousin was the one I did the deck for.
Okay.
A different cousin. So they saw the quality of work and what I was able to do there. And then they discussed about, you know, the space in the house. It would have been nice when we first built the house, that we constructed an addition, or, you know, it kind of made it look a little bit different than what it did. So now their parents were getting older and they wanted to move them in. So they went through the process and I helped them with it as well, to try to get drawings done and trying to get the process going. And
was it a single floor? It was a bungalow style
single floor
house?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Right.
Very, it's very well spaced. It's very, it's good. It functions very well. And so that was my first big job. So what I tried to implement is, I'm not going to be taking, unless I have to go to a shop around, sometimes those things happen, right? I tried to stay, I used to call the garage my office. I had a little desk, I had an espresso machine, microwave, you know, I had all my papers.
I used to do mine in the back of the van.
Yeah.
This is a long time ago. I was like, I would have an espresso running off the back of my van. I had an inverter and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I needed that because if I was on the road, I wasn't going to stop everywhere and try to get an espresso. I would just be having, pull the van over and have an espresso.
Oh, mine comes with me everywhere I go. But I tried to do the office part and try to coordinate what the next step would be in the garage. So that way I never had to leave or take time off of the project to go do elsewhere. And even that I got in shit because they're saying, oh, you know, he's always in the office. Who knows what he's doing? It just...
But you're working on the job. There's a lot of other stuff that you got to work on. Three-way the world. These little puppies. I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require 3 tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I know.
Did it go well? Did the whole job from start to finish?
you know what? It did. Like, there were a couple of hiccups here and there, even with some of the employees. But I love the guys that were there. You know, when things were good, they were great, right? When things are bad, we have a little argument. And even there's stuff that I'm trying to work on as a business owner, as trying to be a businessman, because you always have the mentality of a worker, right?
Yeah.
Where I found myself working, but you know, my phone's constantly going off. So how the hell are you going to concentrate on doing framing as an example? It's hard, right?
It's welcome to construction. That's how it is.
Right. So you're trying to navigate, you know, the needs of the customer, what the next step is, to constantly keep the job progressing. And then obviously making sure that the guys that are there, they're doing their job. So that way you can try to remain profitable and you're not bleeding money. Because every time, and conversations that because I've had blunt conversations, polite conversations, respectful conversations.
With the clients?
No, with the guys that I'm working with. I was like, you know, like I'm not being unrealistic. I'm not an asshole towards you guys. But, you know, like if I'm saying, okay, we need to move a little bit faster, please just take that as a sign that we need to move a little bit because maybe I'm hemorrhaging a few more dollars than I should be.
Yeah.
Right? And with respect. And then it gets to a point where the Portuguese comes out of me and then it's, you know, vai tudo pro caralho.
So how's it these days though? Is it fine for you to get work and find work and you still surviving?
It's little jobs here and there are appearing.
You're getting some of the union guys going, want to come back, man, come back.
Not yet. I think they're all cheering for me to keep doing this. I think there's a lot of guys that were like, you know what? I've had guys tell me, you know what, Joe, we're really proud of you that you
went on your own.
Went on your own, and you're trying to make it. You're trying to make something.
Does the union kind of frown upon that? Like, do they, or do they encourage it, or like?
No. Union wants you all for themselves.
Yeah. So they don't want you to go on your own.
Why would they?
I don't know. It's maybe call me like old school, where I'm thinking, well, maybe they have a passion elsewhere, right? They've learned what they want to learn. You're not regretting the years that you were a union member.
No, not at all.
And you learned a lot and you met a lot of great people. So it's like everybody has to. I always said that about employees. Whenever I had employees, a lot of the younger guys hated their employees because they always thought their employees would take the knowledge that they gave them and then run with it and go on their own. I'm like, who gives a shit? I don't care, man. Like, let them go. If they want to go, then be happy for them. Stay them as contact. So then if you're too busy, you can hire them to take care of some stuff.
100%. At the end of the day, if how's the saying go? If you love something or someone, you have to let them go, right? Or if you love something, let it go, right? You know, you have to have a certain care for the people that you work with. If you look at it just a number, you might as well go back to the union, right? And I don't want to view people that way to come that helps me and works with me. Right? Because when I go up, they're coming with me. Right? That's how I think.
But that's where your workforce was coming from anyway, right? So you were reaching out to them and giving them some opportunity, even though when they were slow.
Yeah.
I've got some work going on, guys. I'll give you guys a hand, right?
Yeah. And I used to get calls from guys, you know, I kept a lot of guys busy, right? When the union didn't have a lot, or when guys didn't have any work because they were laid off from, you know, whatever XY company, you know.
Are you worried, Joe, about next Monday? And I'm talking about April 28th.
Yeah, I am. Like, everything is always on the back of my mind, right?
It's going to affect your business if it goes one way or the other.
I believe so. Well, I think we're all fucked.
But that's what I'm saying is, are you worried, right? Like, it's going to affect your business. And in construction, retail and construction have been hit hard in the last year.
Yeah, 100%.
Extremely hard. Right. And it's going to affect the business. If you think it's not going to, then you're out to lunch.
No. I'm really worried. I don't know what my next step would be if like things really gone bad. I'm just trying to fill the pipeline with as many small, whatever I can get at this point in time. Right. It is tough. No one wants to sign big contracts. So now you're stuck with, you know, maybe $1,000 job here and there, you know.
Yeah, but in all fairness, Joe, like this is what I've told a lot of people at the start of this year, even at the end of last year, is like start humbling yourself and just take the jobs that you can get. That's how you survive.
Yeah,
100%. That's what I learned from the old timers.
It's something like, as we're discussing now, I have discussed with other friends who I talked with every day. And I say, you know, if I have to clean porta potties, I have to clean toilets, I will do it because that's what I need to provide for my family.
Clean it and then make sure you have your Sharpie so you can do a little dick drawing. That's it.
Well, of course. You know what I was thinking? They should have like, not so much, they should have a billboard just on graffiti. On job sites. That way, you know, you can poke a little fun at whatever.
Or maybe a whiteboard. Just put a whiteboard in there.
Right.
But then you're erasing the art, right?
Yeah. I think that would be a lot of fun because everyone knows that everyone pokes a little bit of fun at each other.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you know the flying geese, and then you have, you know, the ones that are flying all over, those are Portuguese.
But you know what, though? I'm trying to remember. I don't think I ever had any art in any of the toilets that showed up on my private jobs. There was never any. But then I always upgraded to the wedding toilet.
Oh, yeah?
The bigger one, the 5x5, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I used it because I wanted more space and I wanted heat and I wanted hot and water, hot and cold
water. I was too cheap. I just got the regular one.
No, but I never had a graffiti on mine, right? Yeah. But then I talked to a lot of you union guys, and you guys are telling me about all kinds of graffiti.
We have all kinds of animals that you work with in the union.
I want to know who the artist is. They should be signing them, man.
God, I've seen a couple. I'll have to find one afterwards of you.
One guy who just sent me a message. He goes, "This is the one that Rich was talking about," and he showed it to me, and I saw the picture of the Portuguese shuttle one, and yeah. I was like, "Okay."
It's definitely when you go to the washroom, you just definitely looking around, just laughing. There's some really good characters there.
But it's a reflection of the workforce and its camaraderie. It's like the brotherhood, the sisterhood. That's what I like, right? I just don't like them being taken advantage of. I hate that 100%. Anybody in construction, I don't like anybody being taken
advantage of. You know what's something that really stuck out to me is, hey, if you could, you deal with so many different personalities on a job site, right? And you know, you go through spectrums of people that you cannot absolutely stand. Uh-huh. Guys where you almost want to punch them right out if given the opportunity.
Yeah.
But I can tell you right now, if that guy was in danger, I'd be the first one to run towards him.
I know, that's what I mean.
And then they would do the same for me. And it's unfortunate that something bad has to happen in order for people to come together, you know? And I've seen some stuff in high rise, man. Goddamn, I tell you.
What do you mean? Like really risky shit that.
So there was this, I'm not going to mention companies or anything like that. But, I was working on, I think it was like 35th floor. So they had you had the elevator core and then you had another wall that went around it. But in between that wall was meant to put like a beam, a header right across, which was going to be done after with the fly forms.
Okay.
Right. So they did a bulkhead that ran across and they had their flyer going up. So you had to step down onto the bulkhead in order to get onto the ladder, which that wasn't meant to be the access. So when they put the bulkhead right across, they never put any shoring jacks. Someone mistakenly put the ladder up. Excuse me. The guy stepped on it, and it was the most god-awful scream that you'll ever hear.
He fell all right down in the...
He fell off, and like he twisted in midair, and he fell backwards. It brings chills to me, like hearing that.
Did he get hurt bad?
Oh, yeah. He got hurt bad. So... I seen it, and I was the first guy, me and another guy were the first ones that ran up to him, right? And we're like, he was knocked out. Yeah, I think he hit his head on a sledgehammer because there was a sledgehammer right beside it. And he was out cold.
His hard hat was off by the time he hit it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a real bad situation. And this gets worse as the story progresses. He's fine, right? He's fine. So... we're like, okay, you got to call the ambulance. You got to call. We're telling, like, you got to call everybody, right? So Peter, who was the one that arrived, he was the second guy that showed up there. He was calling. He had the radio. He's like calling everybody. Okay, you know, we have an accident, a critical, and he's making all these calls. The foreman comes up. So I can't remember what his name, he comes to and he's screaming, yelling, right? And we're saying, okay, calm down. Don't worry. We're going to get you help. We're going to help you. Nobody left his side, right? Foreman comes up, tries to pick him up. And the safety guy's like, hey, don't touch him.
Can't touch him.
Don't touch him. So he kept trying to get him to step up.
Why?
Because I think the foreman was new at the position, right? And I think he's never seen someone be injured. And we're constantly telling him, don't get up, right? And then foreman kept insisting on him, you know, getting up. You know, he's up and the guy was tough, man. Really fucking tough guy. And he was up and he's breathing. Like, I can hear he's really struggling breathing. You can hear, like, as he's exhaling, it's like, yeah, something's really fucking wrong. So I said, okay, listen, I'm with you, okay? I'm not going to leave your side. Just, you know, stay calm, right? Just try to breathe, you know, just relax. We're going to get you help, right? He, instead of having the ambulance and the fire department come up, right? What does the foreman do? Tells him to come down, walk down the stairs, okay? Go to the elevator and go down, okay? And we'll take you to the hospital. Not call an ambulance. We'll take you to the hospital, okay? They drove him from the site to the hospital. In the middle of him going to the hospital, he's passing in and out. He thought the guy was going to die, right? Finally, he gets to the hospital. He has 7 cracked ribs. He has a contusion. He's internal bleeding. He's got a lot of problems, right? He's came to. He's better, right? But I just saw that display of what that foreman did. And then when they investigate, I even told them, I was like, yeah, he fucking did this.
What happened to the foreman?
Why? He kept his job.
There was no reprimand to the foreman?
Nope.
The foreman's 100% wrong here.
100%.
That's not right.
And then he asked me, oh, Joe, grab a bottle of water and just clean out that blood. I said, no, I'm not doing that.
The foreman?
Yeah.
Was there a report that this accident happened on the job site? 100%
it was, yeah.
But the way it happened, as it happened?
I fucking said it. Exactly as it happened, I said it.
Well, why was he trying to cover it up?
I don't know.
Foreman related to somebody upper executive?
You know, people know people, right?
This is what I have a problem with.
And this, but that's not the union's fault that happened, right? That's not the union's fault. That is the company's fault. Right,
it's the company's fault, but this is the problem. Whether it's subconsciously or not, the union has taught this to be done this way.
I think that's.
Listen, instinctively, you just explained to me that we could hate each other, and I agree with you. We can hate each other. We can banter with each other on a job site. And I can call you names, you can call me names, but then you're in the moment that you're in a life-threatening situation or something happens to you, I've got your back and you've got my back.
Yeah.
But then instinctively, that foreman decided to do what that foreman did, which was going against everything that you know as a brother of a membership knows not to do. Someone falls like that, you don't move them right away. You don't do all these things. And that foreman was taught to do that.
So what I think is that foreman has friends in high places.
Yeah.
Right. And he's not meant to be put. And this is where I have a problem too with formwork and high rise I won't say with the union, but you're putting guys in positions that they shouldn't be in positions.
Yeah, they don't have the experience for it.
Exactly. You know, you go from tossing pizzas 1 year to all of a sudden becoming a foreman.
No. Well, that foreman should have been fined. That foreman should have been fired.
So I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know
what happened to the kid.
Why
did he recover?
Yeah, he did recover. Thank God. You know, and I saw that. I was like, you know what? You guys really don't give a fucking shit about anybody.
Consider Expert Plumbing and Drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Bolin and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years, and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes. It's about delivering the best possible service every single time on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
And you know what? These are not a lot of people I have these conversations with. I haven't mentioned that story in a fucking very long time.
Yeah, and this is one of many stories that gets swept underneath the rug. And this is what I have a problem with. And then here I am highlighting these stories. And you know, I'm grateful that you guys like yourself and other people, because of the environment that I allow here, bring up this story. And it's not, you didn't make this shit up.
No, no, absolutely
not. You were there, you saw it. And what I have a problem is with the person, the worker, how they were treated as a result of a justified action that caused an accident. Right? He didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't like he was screwing around.
And at the end of the day, it's an accident.
It's an accident.
Yeah, nobody intentionally, I never worked with anybody that intentionally wanted to hurt someone.
No, I'm not saying any of that. Maybe that does happen, but I don't know. Yeah, but the thing is, not in this situation. Yeah. There was an accident, that person got hurt, and a certain number of members knew exactly what to do and what not to do. Yeah. And then one person that was taught a certain way by suits did it a different way.
Yeah.
And what if that worker died? What if those broken... I've had broken ribs before. Like, it's fucking painful. Yeah. And the more ribs you have broken, the more likely that broken piece of rib is going to puncture an organ.
Yeah.
You don't move that person. So yeah, that person could have died.
And that was what the safety recommended for him to do. That's what everyone recommended for him to do. And he still chose to try to get him up. Because he was coming to, and you know, I don't know. Like, you know, when you're nervous, you know how like some people get into a car accident and then take off. I think it's that
it's just
that,
adrenaline, yeah. Right? But is that what's flowing through the foreman?
He should be making.
No,
be
I making think the foreman correct, was just covering his ass.
Yeah, the foreman is trying to. Yeah, 100%. That's
what it's a lot was. Easier to explain an accident where the ambulance doesn't have to come all the way up to the 35th to.
It was shortly there afterwards that I left 183. I don't say in the union. The union gave me an opportunity to purchase a house, to create a life for myself, which is what I wanted. But I'm constantly in pursuit of, you know, trying to improve myself and constantly be better. That behavior, I don't want to be part of it because it doesn't get me anywhere, because it just makes you a product of your environment at the end of the day.
So when you guys have union meetings, right? How often are these meetings?
I think to do it every month.
What's the purpose of these meetings?
Just to talk about the general discussion as to how workflow is going.
In your lifetime of being with the union, you can answer this question or not. Does that incident or incidences like that be presented, and the actions associated with those incidents presented in these union meetings?
I think because Local 27 is a smaller union, it's more condensed. I think something like that would be brought to their attention.
But have you as a member been at these meetings and ever seen something similar to that be brought up?
No.
Why would you? As a suit, I like playing both parts.
Yeah.
I respect the work pants, but I don't respect the suits. So why would you bring that up? Because there should be a reprimand there, man. There's
100%. Totally,
like that foreman, the picture should be right up there, man.
Yeah.
No, it should be up there. I'm sorry that this member fucked up royally. They should never have done that. And I know it goes against the grain of what the membership is all about, but well, I look
100%,
at 100%.
That guy should never... He continued to be a foreman until I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't care personally because I didn't like the fucking guy to begin with.
But he wasn't experienced enough to be a foreman.
No, he was not.
to be a foreman means, what is the clear definition of a foreman? You're in charge of so many people and scope of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're, you, whatever, good, bad, happy or sad, that falls on you.
Yeah.
Right. You're like, I said, and I hate the phrase in that, but it's like a chessboard, right? You don't sacrifice people, but you just put people in the right space, right place in order for you to keep building that building up. Right. Normally you have about what, 4 or 5 guys that really lead the building. And then you have everybody else that kind of surround them.
You think it'll ever change? You think it'll ever go back to supporting the brotherhood and sisterhood and caring about the workers? Because I was told recently that the only way that's ever going to change is if the workers all rally beside each other. Yeah. You have to actually rally against the establishment. Good luck on that one, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with that person who told me that recently, that the workers have to all rally against...
The workers have to stick together.
Yeah.
But the problem is the workers are all a bunch of individuals themselves, right?
Divide and conquer.
Yeah. That's and a lot of them, you know, they'll easily tell you to go, F off.
I know. Right?
And that's hard to try to have a meaningful conversation with people that have that attitude.
Well, that's what that foreman did. He dismissed the situation to the best of his knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's why I said subconsciously he was taught that by the union brass.
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't necessarily think that he wasn't in the union long enough to be part of that. I think that's just a personal trait that he has. He's a sneaky cocksucker. And you know, you can't get away from that. You know, he's a businessman first and maybe a construction guy second.
Yeah, it's a suit. That's what I'm saying.
But it's not in the union's best interest to have people like that on the site.
But it's in the union's best interest to not put a light on that.
Yeah, like if it does come out, you know, they try to keep things on the down low and not allow a lot of these stories to come out. Yeah, this is why your platform is such a great platform, because now you have people like me. Yeah, am I part of 183? You know, I'll forever be part of 183.
Of course, and because
I'll
forever it taught you a lot and it gave you a lot. And I respect that.
I have a lot of love for the union, right? Are there things that they can do differently? 100% there is, right? But I always want better for myself and better for those that are around me and better for my family, first and foremost.
I just don't want suits beating their chests on all the positives and not focusing on anything negative.
Yeah.
How do you improve your business? Do you just focus on the positives?
I try to. Well, I try.
You still got to look at what's wrong and what's not working.
No, 100%. Like, you make it better. I always try to reevaluate exactly what it is I've gone wrong.
Exactly.
That addition that I built, it was the first one, right? I was able.
You know what went right. You know what went wrong.
100%.
You learned from it.
And the next one will get better and better and better and better. Every job I do is like that, right?
But the union needs to do that, right? This is going to be interesting. I just recently learned about a bunch of funds that are associated with the unions. And these funds just grow and grow. And these funds are supposed to be used for certain events that fall on the members. And then when the members try to access these funds, they're denied these funds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's an interesting little road trip there. That'll be discussed on a future show.
Yeah. You know, like there's people who are a lot more educated about those aspects.
There's an individual that's coming on the show that has no problem bringing it up and discussing it. And he's going to discuss quite a bit. And I recently had a conversation with him and it was pretty enlightening.
Yeah. It's shocking when you hear, you know, your politicians and, you know, your prime minister, all the shady shit that cocksucker does, excuse my language. But then, you know, why is a union rep of any union not the same or worse? You know, like, is corruption everywhere? 100%.
I think they're exactly the same. And I think corruption's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason that the politics were inside the unions is because people are handing big wads of money in envelopes.
Here's what I don't like. Is where the union is telling you who to vote for.
Yeah.
That.
But they deny that. They say they don't do that.
I've been at meetings.
I know
where
they do. They
went at meetings. It was for the. It wasn't
makes no
for,
sense, Joe. Does that make any sense? Because last time I voted, there was nobody in the room when I was fucking doing it.
Yeah.
So how do they know who's going to vote for who?
Oh, vote for this guy because he's going to do this, this. I was like, get the fuck out of
here.
But
they're not there, so they can make their own decision. They'll never know what you voted for, who you voted for.
Yeah, but even just saying, oh, you know, you should vote for liberals or conservatives.
But does it really matter?
It's none of your business who the fuck I vote for.
Does it really matter? Because if
and it shouldn't matter.
If it changes. So right now, Red's been fucking giving up whack of money. We know, I know they've been giving the unions a whack of money for projects. And then if they get pushed out, then Blue's going to give them a whack of money for projects. That's all that's going to happen.
I think where people get scared is that, you know, they say conservatives are not for unions. You know, I don't know. Like realistically, I don't know.
Who says that, but I think it's bullshit.
At the end of the day, a prime minister, premier, they need to be for the people. So if you're part of a union, okay, well, that's who you're part of. But here's what I can do to help you, right? Which is how do you improve each person's life and the province as a whole? How do you make the province more in a better state than what you found it? Really,
you know, that's not the case here, man.
No.
The case here is about how do you take as much money as possible from whatever source you could take it from.
And it's all it, people did just, okay, you know, this is going to this for this, you know,
What project, whatever?
Yeah, no, like we have to do this test and we got to do this survey and so on.
Oh, the consult fees and the engineer the consult fees and okay, all so, this other
you
shit.
Know, why is a consult fee cost fucking $20 million?
Because it's been... It's funneled money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the government has rooms full of manila envelopes. Not a drawer. I think they have rooms full of them.
Yeah. There's a lot of crazy shit going on.
We got to get to 12 questions, Joe.
Okay, go ahead.
Am I going to get in trouble? You going to get in trouble? You ain't going to get in trouble, are you?
And if I do, I you know, I'm a very honest person and, you know, I speak my mind.
No names were mentioned.
And there's probably more shit that I could say, but, you know, there's no point.
Joe and Co, www.joeandco.ca. You can email him at joe@joeandco.ca. On IG under joe_and_co_contracting, 647-217-6448. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
You figure by now I would have these memorized. Nope. A person you would trade places with for a day.
Hugh Hefner.
Depends on which day. Are we talking about Hugh Hefner? Viagra Hugh Hefner, man.
Well, Viagra, because he can still get it up.
You know what? Since you're a union guy, what the fuck is with the unions supplying Viagra and Ozempic and weed to the members now? The fuck is that?
That one is questionable.
I'm always going to be questioning
We'll chat about afterwards.
Guilty pleasure.
Eating a bag of chips.
What is your least favorite tool? What chipping do you mean gun. Tools? You're a DeWalt guy, no?
Milwaukee.
You're Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. Can't be right all the time.
Hey, I love all the tools. Like No. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have said all the tools.
Mastercraft.
You know what? Mastercraft has a lifetime warranty.
Yeah, but you'd be using it.
I would, yeah. Depending on what it is.
Okay, least favorite tool.
Chipping gun.
Yeah, it's fucking loud and hard.
Obnoxious.
Yeah. Biggest risk you ever took?
Opening a business.
Best compliment you ever got?
You're really good at your job.
What is your favorite beverage?
So toss up between Jinjinga and port wine.
Oh, Jinjinga. Yeah. I haven't had that in forever, man.
I'll have to bring you a shot one of these days.
Jeez, man. What never fails to make you laugh?
Going to the washroom on a job site.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Don't work high rise because you'll never make any money.
But that's not true. Is it true?
No, it's not true.
Yeah. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Firefighter or police officer.
What's your favorite curse word?
Pocaralho.
What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Fuck it. I like my truck. I love my truck.
What do you got?
GMC Sierra.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You did good, boy.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Being frank and open and honest. And I think this will just help the younger generation have a better perspective of the industry. And I think that's important that they have that better perspective so they can make more informed decisions on where they want to go with the industry.
Yeah, like that's why I wanted to really do this, because I do care about the apprentices, right? You know, sometimes you have to have a heavy hand or a soft hand with them, depending on their personality. But nonetheless, it's still love.
Yeah.
And they need as much guidance as possible, more than ever.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. We're out of here.